now we can't. So what we've done so far is we've given you lots of examples, we've given a few sort of filling in of details, and then the next stage is meant to be some more sort of formal definition of the language. And this particular page we've essentially already gone through. There is only one type called var. The syntax is var variable name equals whatever you want semicolon. That defines a new variable called whatever you choose to name it, and it gives it a value. There is, as with all languages, some sort of scoping rules. And if you define a variable, if that variable is inside a function, it is not known outside that function. But if you leave the var off and it was defined somewhere else, it assumes it's a global value. So if you have var fred equals 0 outside a function, and then inside the function you say fred equals, then that's going to be the global value of fred. So there's some rather reasonable scoping rules. I already mentioned you have to be very careful about the loose typing. We will define some system functions called parseInt and parseFloat. parseInt and parseFloat do what you expect. They take arguments of the strings and convert them to integers or floating point numbers, respectively. There is a useful magic value, which is null, which is with no quotes. So everything starts off as undefined or null. And you can set things to null if you want to undefine them. So you will find sometimes in JavaScript you test to see something is null, whether or not it's been defined. For instance, in one of my programs, I test to see whether the so-called window.opener, which is the window that called this particular frame, is equal to null or not. Because if it's equal to null, it means it wasn't called from somewhere. If it's non-null, it means it was called from somewhere, and that means you can actually go and access the JavaScript variables from where it was called. So properties are when not initialized are set to null. So there are these two types of quotes, single quotes and double quotes. I forgot to mention that that's very important, because when you look at JavaScript, it's very confusing often to read because of the various quotes. Because you're often generating HTML, and HTML has quotes. So you will have noticed, if you could have read it, that when I had my image tag, I said width equals double quotes, single quotes. So what was that? So the double quotes was an HTML double quotes. The single quotes was a JavaScript single quotes. So what I used was the single quotes to enclose a string which happened to have a double quotes in it, and so when it got interpreted, the JavaScript thing of single quotes say this is a string delimited by single quotes. I will scan through to the next single quote, and then it will view double quote just as an ordinary character and hand it to HTML as a double quote. Of course, you can use backslashes and things like that to make it to get around this, but that's even harder to read. So because we have one language, if you like, embedded on another, we have JavaScript embedded on HTML, you often need to decide which language is going to use single quotes and which language is going to use double quotes, because both of them are allowed to use either. So you just want to be careful, because otherwise you'll get confused situation, which if you just type rather carelessly, you will find one person's HTML's quotes misinterpreted by JavaScript and its quotes and so on. There are Booleans, which are either true or false, and comments, I think, are identical to that in Java, or at least the simplest comments. Then you have slash slash, which is a comment until the end of the line, or slash star, anything you like, including new line, star slash, which is a general multi-line comment. So let's just see, we'll finish on this file, but let's just see if there's anything interesting in this example here.